right. Okay, so what we've been talking about is knowing the plan and these kind of key concepts of salvation. So the first part, a plan for sharing the gospel, we did last week on the first part of this. And so on the back is where we're going to pick it up today. Last week we talked about, obviously, the most important aspect of the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer going into our witnessing, and that it's got to be God who does the work. But now we've got to have a plan. We've got to know where we're headed, so to speak. If you remember last week, this is the one thing I'd like to share with you to refresh us with for introduction. If you remember last week, I said when it comes to sharing the gospel, people make one of three mistakes, or there could be more, but sometimes people will overcomplicate the gospel, right? You may have experienced that before. Sometimes people overcomplicate the gospel, and they want to share the faith with someone, and they expect them to know this and to know that, and you basically have to be a Bible expert before you can be saved. So some people will overcomplicate the gospel, but then some people will just water down the gospel. Water down the gospel. You believe in Jesus, right? Great. Well, why don't you pray this prayer with me, and you can know for sure you're going to heaven without really explaining it to people. Or just this general idea that, well, as long as you have some kind of general belief in Jesus, you're probably okay. Well, that's a very, very watered down gospel. And there's other ways people water it down. So we don't want to do that. But then the third thing, and I think it's very dangerous, and this happens in some evangelical churches, is people, so you can overcomplicate it, you can water it down, or you can kind of mystify it. And what we meant by mystify it is they'll take something that's true, a true statement, like if someone's going to get saved, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that does it, right? But they'll take that then to an unbiblical place where they'll just leave they'll say, well, we're just leaving it all up to the Holy Spirit. So they'll talk about the gospel sometimes. They will talk about the cross, good things, without ever actually confronting people with the gospel, saying you must personally believe on Christ. Has there been a time in your life where you personally believed on the name of Jesus? Repented of your sin, believed in Christ. And so what happens is people can go to churches where some of the people are saved, others are not saved, and it's almost as if you hang around long enough, you'll hear something that might just click. And so they'll kind of mystify it as if it's this great mystery and we can't really know. But in the scripture, we find the apostles and the early church always confronting people with the gospel. And when I say confront, I don't mean angry. That word confrontational has gotten a negative connotation. I don't mean angrily confronting with people with the gospel, but I mean bringing people to a point of decision could be in different ways. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you repented of your sin and trusted in Christ? Because in order to make a person realize, wait a minute, I shouldn't just assume that I'm okay with God. Have I ever made things right with God? So, if you'd like to do that, and I hope every Christian would, it's important that we know where we're headed. Do you know the scriptures that you could very easily take someone to and where you could show them scriptures that will clearly let them know what Christ has done for them? So here's what I would say is not a bad idea. If you're somebody that would like, you want to know this more, but you realize, hey, I'm not going to remember everything in this lesson. Something that's a great thing that I did when I was young is I wrote these things down in maybe one of the back pages of my favorite Bible, or I would take a sheet like this, I would cut it, and I'd tape it to the inside of my Bible. So I'd have just a quick reference of what verses that I can take people to. Other things you could do is you could take your favorite gospel track and you could just tuck it somewhere in your Bible. You could keep it with you. And you could use that as a guide for taking people to key verses. But every verse that I'm going to show you today, maybe with a couple of exceptions, every verse that I'm going to show you today, you should say, Lord, I'm going to commit to memorize these scripture verses. I'm going to memorize these so that I'll be able to very easily share my faith with others. So, let's talk about this. First of all, on the back, well, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll dive in a little more. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can be here today. I pray that you would bless this time of study. Help us to have a burden for the lost and help that to cause us to really want to learn how we can share the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Travis was sharing with us a little bit earlier that he's getting ready to go for a week of training. Excited about that, huh? So let's think about this for a second. Why do they train? And I'm not going to get into any more of the details of that, but why do they train you? So ultimately, for a business, training, what is the motivation for training the employees? What is it? Success, which means what? Which means profit, right? Which means profit. And it is amazing how much of an investment, how much time, how much energy, and how much persistence is put in that a business puts into training people to be efficient so that the company will make a profit. Now, why am I saying that? Because I'm saying, how much more valuable are souls than profit? You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes people will get this idea, whenever you have, in a church, whenever you have training on evangelism or teaching people, some people are like, oh, you know, this isn't the place for that, and I don't know why people think that way. But I would say, listen, the same kinds of communication techniques and the same kinds of plans and programs that people put in place to make money, and the effort that's put in for people to make money, how much effort and how much development do we put into our spiritual life to see souls reached for Jesus? See what I mean by that? And the kind of effort that we ought to put in. So, every Christian ought to know these key concepts to salvation. These are the most important things. Now, somebody that you're witnessing to may not know these things, right? But as I said last week, you wouldn't be impressed with your child's third grade teacher who said, well, I have a fourth grade education, so surely I'm qualified to teach third grade. No, you want the person who's teaching to know a little bit more than just the basics. So let's think about these key concepts. First of all, the first key concept, go ahead, say it with me, it is what? God's love. God's love. Boy, in a world that is confused on love, it's so important that we're able to explain to people that God loves them. I mean, that God loves them. So the first key concept on the back there under Know the Plan is God's love. And we talked about that last week. Then man's sin. Not just that we have sin in the things that we do, but sin is buried in our heart. We talked about that a little bit as well. And then that there's a judgment for sin. And this is the thing that you'll see. I'm going to show a video here in about 2 minutes. That this is the point, I think, where in our culture today, people seem to have the hardest time with. Whereas you'll tell someone, listen, we're all sinners. And sometimes people say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm really a good person. I'm really a good person. Well, one of my favorite evangelists, as far as someone who shares the faith on the streets, is Mr. Ray Comfort. And he's got a ministry called Living Waters. And I want you to we're just going to take a few minutes and watch this. And see how he addresses people. What he does is he goes and he interviews people. Camera, microphone. And he's in California. He'll go down to the most populous areas in California. And he'll just randomly interview people on the streets to share the gospel with him. And he gets all kinds of really interesting reactions. How many of you have seen a Ray Comfort video before? Okay, so almost half of us. All right, go ahead, Kayla. Fire that up.
So who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? What do I have to do?
I'm really not sure. I don't believe in religion. I'm not a religious believer.
Yeah, what do you think you have to do to get to heaven?
Be a good person.
I found this next witnessing clip to be one of the classics from Ray Comfort. Genesis and Brian are their names, and Brian says that he believes in God, but that he's not a religious person. He says he's not afraid to die. And the girl is very open to spiritual things. Watch as Ray so beautifully uses the power of the moral law to sober them and so clearly present the gospel. This is a very instructive video.
So you've been on roller coasters?
Yeah, I actually have.
You like them?
Yes.
Are you afraid of dying?
Not at all.
Not at all. You know how many people have been killed on roller coaster rides in recent years in the U.S.? Any idea?
I haven't, actually.
Take a guess. What do you think, Genesis?
It's pretty rare, I think.
50 people have died on roller coaster rides in the U.S. in recent years.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. So, what do you think happens after someone dies? Do you think there's an afterlife?
Yeah,
And what do you think?
I think there is a heaven.
Is there a hell?
I'm pretty sure there is.
You think there is?
Yeah.
So who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? What do I have to do?
I'm really not sure. I don't believe in religion. I'm not a religious believer.
Yeah, what do you think you have to do to get to heaven?
Be a good person.
And what about you, Genesis?
I don't know if there's a heaven or a hell. I know there's somewhere you go, but I don't know where.
You're not sure. Do you think about dying?
No, I'm prepared for it. I'm just ready.
What about you? Are you afraid of dying?
I actually embrace it.
You embrace it?
If it's my time, then.
Do you believe God exists?
Yeah, I actually do.
Okay. And what about you, Genesis? Do you believe God exists?
I believe in God, yeah.
Okay. So, you said you have to be good to get to heaven?
I'm guessing.
Okay, if heaven does exist, are you going to go there? Are you a good person?
It's a 50-50.
50-50. What about you, Genesis? Are you a good person?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay, let's see if you're going to make it. I'm going to ask you some questions. What I'll do is I'll put you on the stand, okay? I'll be a prosecutor.
Okay.
You be the defendant. You defend yourself. All I want from you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God. Can you do that?
Yeah.
What about you? Can you be honest?
Yeah.
Okay, how many lies have you told in your whole life?
More than I can count.
What about you? How many lies have you told in your whole life?
Too many.
Okay, so what do you call someone who tells countless lies?
A liar.
Okay, so what are you?
Liar.
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything?
I actually have when I was smaller.
Okay, what about you? Have you ever stolen something belongs to someone else?
I have.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Okay, so what are you?
A thief.
No, you're not. You're a lying thief.
I'm a lying thief, you're right.
So, do you still think you're good people?
Not really. Sometimes.
Sometimes. What about you?
Yeah, I think I am genuinely nice.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
Yeah.
Okay, now you believe God gave you life. Are you thankful to Him for giving you life?
I actually am.
Okay, and yet you've used His name as a cuss word. That's called blasphemy. It's very serious.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one to go, and I appreciate your honesty, guys. Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I can say I have.
Yeah. And have you ever looked at a guy with lust?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a summation. You ready?
Yeah.
By your own admission, I'm not judging you. Mm-hmm. You both admitted that you're lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterers at heart. And that's only 4 of the 10 commandments, okay?
Yeah.
We've looked at 4 of them. So on judgment day, if God judges you by the 10 commandments, are you going to be innocent or guilty?
Pretty much be guilty right now.
And what about you, Genesis?
Guilty.
Guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell?
So far, hell, I guess.
And what about you?
I think hell.
Well, you made a right judgment. That's what the Bible actually says. It says all liars will end up in hell, so will thieves and blasphemers and adulterers and fornicators. So you're in big trouble on judgment day. So what are you going to say to God so that you can live and avoid hell? Any idea?
I'm sorry.
That won't work. It's like saying to a judge in a court of law, Judge, I'm guilty of the crime, but I'm sorry and I won't do it again. He's not going to let you go just because you're sorry. You should be sorry, and of course you shouldn't do it again. So does it concern you that if you died today, if a roller coaster did something wrong and you fell off and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell? Does that concern you?
Not as much.
Yeah. So it's starting to?
Kind of.
And what about you, Genesis?
I didn't think about it before.
You don't think about it before, but you are now?
Till now, yeah.
Okay. Do you know what God did for guilty sinners so he wouldn't have to go to hell? Have you any idea?
Didn't he give away his only son?
Say that again?
He gave away his only son to be...
Yeah, and what do you think?
He let Jesus die on the cross.
Do you understand that or not? Well, let me tell you my take on it and get your thoughts, okay? God's a judge. He's good, he's kind, but he's a judge. And he'll make sure murderers get punished and rapists and thieves and adulterers and liars and blasphemers. You and I are guilty of breaking his law, the Ten Commandments. We're heading for a place called hell, God's prison, without parole, but Jesus stepped in and paid our fine 2,000 years ago. That means God can legally dismiss your case. You can be forgiven every crime you've ever committed against God because Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. He suffered and died for you and then rose again from the dead. And what you've got to do in response to that is repent of your sins. Don't just confess them to a priest, don't just confess them to God, but actually turn from your sins. Say, God, please forgive me. Create a clean heart in me, and then put your faith in Jesus Christ, and God says, I'll forgive every sin you've ever committed, and I'll give you the gift of everlasting life. I'll let you live forever if you repent and trust the Savior. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
Have you had a Christian background?
Yeah.
What about you? Have you had a Christian background?
Yeah, I went to Christian church for a while.
Okay. Do you have a Bible at home?
I actually do.
What about you?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's another summation. If you two died today, you'd end up in hell. There are two things you have to do to be saved. You've got to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. When are you going to do that?
As soon as possible now.
And what about you? Do you feel the same?
Yeah.
Seriously, I don't want to press you.
No, I know. I don't like religion, I guess. I just like believe in God.
And remember, it was religious people that killed Jesus. They tried to kill him 10 times before he got to the cross. It was religious people that stoned the prophet. So God doesn't like religion either. I don't like it. There's a lot of religious hypocrisy. But what we're talking about is where you guys are going to spend eternity, forever. And life is so precious. Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
I wouldn't.
Would you sell yours for $10 million, both of your eyes?
Probably not.
Of course not. Your eyes are precious. So how much more is your life worth? So we're talking about your soul. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So, when are you going to get right with God? When do you think?
As soon as I can.
You serious?
I'm serious.
Okay, can I pray with you guys after this?
Sure.
Wouldn't embarrass you?
No.
Okay. Let me pray with you. Father, I pray for this young couple that you...
So what's the problem there? I mean, I've met people a lot. Well, I'm sorry for my sins. Is the requirement for salvation to be sorry for our sins? No. Will that lead a person to salvation? Yeah, hopefully it will lead a person. If they're truly sorry for their sins, that's repentance. It will lead a person. But the requirement for salvation is to repent and believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior. So they had a general understanding of biblical concepts, and there are a lot of people that I've met that are like that. They think, well, Jesus died, so everybody's kind of taken care of because of that. But that's not how it works. Right, because the penalty has to be paid. Exactly. Anybody else? One thing that we can just take, now he's obviously done this a lot. I mean, he wants to reach souls for Christ. So he's prepared. He very clearly articulates the faith. And is it not amazing that people are open to actually talk about it with him? He just goes right after the gospel, and they'll discuss it with him. And that's in California. So there is an open door. Now, did those two trust Christ? I hope that they did. Only the Lord knows. Anything else that anybody noticed from that? Okay, so let's look at this. So we saw the key concept, this idea of sin, and that was something that these two really didn't have a good concept of. The gospel, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That Jesus is God, he became a man. And substitution, that Jesus died for us. He died in our place. Not just that Jesus died generally, because most people, unless they're atheists or very, very opposed, they believe that, but that he died for me as my substitute. That I can be justified. Jesus took our sin, so we get his righteousness, so God accepts us. How many of you have seen that illustration? That if this represents our sin, you've seen this before, if this represents our sin, and who we are, by trusting, and this represents Jesus and his purity, when we trust Christ, what does God see? He sees Christ. He sees us covered. And that's a simple illustration that you can use with folks as well. So that's the idea of justification. And then it all happens by faith. You think people have a misunderstanding of what faith is? No doubt about it. But the key idea of faith is trust and dependence. Not a general, generic kind of a belief, but a belief that is depending on Christ as Savior. And then repentance. Repentance is so important because literally in the scriptures, that is one of the two things that are given to us to be saved, to repent and to believe the gospel. So I've heard it described, repentance and belief are two sides of the same coin. When a person repents, it means it's not that they stop committing all their sins. Do you know a Christian who stopped committing all of their sins? I don't. I sure don't. But the idea of repentance is I have a new way of thinking about who I am. The change of my thinking. It's no longer these two were like, well, we'll just live however we want to live. We'll do whatever we want to do. And then we'll just kind of have this belief in Jesus and hopefully that'll all cover us. But what he's trying to show them, what is scriptural, is that no, You have to have a complete change of your heart, a complete change of your attitude about who you are, about who God is. And when that happens, a person can truly come to faith in Christ. Does anyone have any questions about those key concepts there? About what any of those things mean that we've been talking about? All right. So, I'm not going to talk much about the lead-in because every person, every situation is unique. But find opportunities to open up conversations with people. The conversation I had with Jai yesterday was really simply, hey, so we're here and we're inviting people to church. Do you ever think about spiritual things? Do you ever think about God and what happens to us when we die? It's a simple lead-in. Or the lead-in that's a little bit more direct and serious. Can I ask you a question? If you were to die today, are you sure? Are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? To which most people will say, I hope so. I want to. Not really sure about all of that. But think of some different ways and have a plan for how you can do that. I personally have simply 3 or 4 statements that I always say every single time when I talk to someone. And that is, one of those helps me get into transition the conversation into the gospel. But now the most important part, let's look at some of the most important scripture verses that we can use to share the faith. Well, one of the best is, and we're not going to turn there because you obviously know it, is John 3:16. What a great place to start. That God so loved the world. I mean, the whole gospel, you could literally, if all you knew was John 3:16, you could share the gospel with someone just from John 3:16. Let's think about it for a minute. So before you worry about memorizing all these other verses, you can, before you learn the Romans Road or any of that, you can share the gospel just with John 3:16. God so loved the world. There's your starting point. First thing you notice is God loves you. He created you. He cares about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who is that? Well, his name was Jesus. God sent Jesus. And throughout the Bible, we learn that Jesus, the Son of God, is equal with God. So not only when God gave his only Son, Jesus, when it says his only begotten Son, it shows that he was special. He was equal with God. God loves us so much that he gave his only Son, and by doing that, he was giving himself. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's given us the opportunity to believe on Christ, but if we don't, what will happen to us? Will what? From John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm using John 3:16 to go through all the points of the gospel. Yeah. We'll perish. That without Jesus, without God loving us, without God sending us his Son, without us believing in him, if none of that happened, if God didn't give us any of those opportunities, what would happen to us? We'd perish because of our sin. So there's you deal with repentance right there. Person understands, listen, I'm in big trouble before God. Without God's love and without Christ, I would perish. But then, the only requirement, and I've done this in John 3:16, I'd say to somebody, you look right there, what is the one requirement that God says, if you don't want to perish, but if you want to have everlasting life, what's the one thing that you have to do? Believe. You have to put all of your, you have to say, God, I'm a sinner who deserves to perish, but I'm going to put all of my trust, all of my hopes, all of my faith in Jesus alone. Have you ever repented of your sin? And have you ever believed on Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation? Has there been a time in your life where you've done that? That's a gospel presentation with one verse in the scripture. That's why John 3:16 is one of the best, and what a great lead. And it's like, you know, the Bible's really, it's actually pretty simple. Have you ever heard of John 3:16? Some people will say, yeah, I know that. It's that verse you see at the football games. You might wonder what it is. Let me tell you what it says. You can share the gospel just with John 3:16. But then there's some other really great verses here. And these, again, we should commit them to memory. So quickly turn, well, let's turn to a couple of these. What I've noticed some people do too in their Bible is at the end of the one verse, they'll put an arrow and a little reference to go to the next verse. So at the end of 1 John 5, that's where we're going to go. So let's go to 1 John 5. At the end of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, they may write right there, like Romans 3:23 or something like that. So I like to use these verses because I always ask people, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know for sure? And most people, the answer is no. They don't know for sure. Well, did you know that the Bible says that you can know for sure? John chapter 5, verse number 13 says this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. I know you said you went to church and maybe you grew up very religious, but did anyone ever show you from the Bible that you could know for sure? People say, no, I didn't know that. Yeah. It says here that those that believe on the name of the Son of God, they may know they have eternal life. And then I'll show them, and in fact, just look at the couple of verses before this. Look at verse 11 and 12. This is the record that God hath given to us, and I'll say, what does that say? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now I'll ask them, who's the Son of God? It's Jesus. This life is in his Son. Now verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now I'll ask the person, according to these verses in the Bible, how do you get eternal life? It's through what? They'll say, well, the Son of God. Yeah. Then I like to go to the Romans Road, which is great. Some people will start at the Romans Road. That's fine too. It's not a formula. It's taking the scriptures and showing people what they say. So a great place to start to show people that, listen, you can know this. God wants us to know is John, 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. But then we'll go to Romans chapter 3. Let's go over to Romans 3. Now these verses for sure, have these underlined, have them marked, be able to show somebody, take them down the Roman road. Romans 3. Now let's look at verse number 23. Romans 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I ask folks questions. So, who is all? That's us. Have you ever sinned? I sure have. They'll say, yeah, absolutely. They'll say, and I've even had people say, well, everyone's a sinner. And so sometimes when people say, well, everyone's a sinner, it's almost like, well, if everybody's a sinner, surely we can't all be in trouble, right? And so then what I'll do is say, all right, well, we're all sinners, but now can I show you another verse that talks about the penalty for our sin? If we turn over a couple pages to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and depending on who I'm talking to, I might even say, and listen, I know I'm skipping over from verse to verse, but if you read all the verses in between, they're saying the same thing. All these chapters are talking about this. So I'll say go to Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You know what wages are. It's what we get paid. It's what we deserve. It's what we've earned. Well, according to the Bible, what do we earn because of our sin? That's what the person says. Death. And then I'll often, and you don't necessarily need to do this, but I will reference Revelation. I say, see, what the Bible teaches is, in the book of Revelation, it says in Revelation 20 that there are two deaths. That we die, our bodies die, but then the Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible speaks of the death of our bodies, but then the penalty for our sin is death in a place called hell. But the verse doesn't stop there. That's why I love Romans 6:23. It says the wages of sin is death, and then it says, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll say, notice here, it does not say that we can earn eternal life. It doesn't say that we can be religious to get eternal life. It says that even though we deserve death, I just keep working through the same verses, even though we deserve death, eternal life is a what? It's a gift. It's a gift that we receive. And we receive it through Christ. And then let me show you this. I'll say, turn back to Romans 5 and look at verse number 8. See, this is why if you've got little arrows, maybe you've got a little New Testament or you've got some Bible that you can keep nearby, you can have little reminders. Now go over to Romans 5, 8. And it says this. Even though we're sinners who deserve death, I'll say, even though we are sinners and we deserve death, God wants to give us what? Life. Eternal life. So Romans 5, 8 says this, that God commendeth, that means he displayed, he demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And it's very, very simple. If you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, it says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Romans 10, verse number 13. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The pastor uses a lot, if you'll notice, often when he gives an invitation, he doesn't always say ABCs, but he follows an outline because it's for some people it's helpful to have a simple outline that you can remember. When he brings people to conclusion, he'll say, you need to admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died to pay for your sin. Now call out to him. Put your trust in him. So you can have little things that help you remember that, but take people through the scriptures. So what I did here for you is in this outline, take them to the scriptures. All those verses, those are key verses that I like to use. To get started, step number one, memorize John 3:16 and be able to simply use John 3:16 to lead someone to Christ. That would be step one, okay? Step one is learn John 3:16 because that's all you need to know. If you want to be able to show someone more, second step, use the verses from Romans. Start with John 3:16, then use all the Romans verses. That's the next one to memorize. Then the third step, maybe use some of these other verses that I've put in there, or add your own verses that the Lord used to convict you of your sin and your need for Christ. So the point is not here that I have given you the seven-step formula. There are people that are like that. You know, it's like, well, there's the ABCs or the seven steps to know you're a Christian or this. It's not about that. It's about us giving people scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts, and then us saying, listen, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior today? Or what he said in the video, when are you going to do something about this? To say it's not just information that, oh, that's nice little lesson I'm going to think about, but to say, listen, I care enough about your soul that I'm concerned about you. When are you going to put your faith, when are you going to put your trust in Jesus Christ? So step number one, I'd say memorize John 3:16 if you haven't already and be comfortable. How would you share the gospel with John 3:16? Step number two, learn the Roman road, all those verses in order in Romans. And step number three, add these other scriptures to memory, to your presentation, so that you can clearly communicate the faith to others. For those of you that would like another passage, I always love to use Titus. This isn't on there, but if you've witnessed a lot and you'd like to use some other verses, I love to use Titus chapter number 3, verse number 3 through verse number 7. Three through seven. And you know what I'm talking about. And verse 5 is not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So that's another passage that I've used a lot of times for folks. There you go. Write that one down. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. That's for dealing with someone who's caught up in their works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's another great verse to put to memory. We'll probably talk about some of those things in future lessons, when we talk about sharing our faith, we'll talk about sharing our faith with someone who's in religion, somebody who's not religious. So we'll talk about all of these things, but this lesson right here is probably the most important, that you are comfortable with a series of scripture verses that you can show someone. So wouldn't it be awesome if next week people had learned these this week, had memorized them? So if you have time, set time aside to let the Lord train you in how you can clearly communicate the faith. All right, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've had. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to really to catch the burden, to be hungry, to see people saved and to follow you. Lead us, Lord, as we seek to win the lost. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.